Meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking for the record, and welcome to the RDS Who Is 2 subgroup number 2 Anything New call on March 29th, 2018 at 1600 UTC. In attendance today, we have Ellen, Stephanie, and Susan. And from ICANN.org, we have Alice, Jean-Baptiste, Lisa, and Brenda. And the call is being recorded, so please state your name for the transcript. I'll turn the meeting over to you, Stephanie.
Great. Thanks very much. Apologies for not getting out a summary of the documents. I really appreciate the one that Susan just sent because, frankly, I got a little overwhelmed when I looked at them all because so many of them really aren't going anywhere in the light of the GDPR discussions. So what I would propose to do is go through that document if nobody objects.
I certainly don't object, and I'm happy to have either have you do it or Susan, who authored it, whichever.
Well, it makes sense to have Susan do it if she doesn't mind being put on the spot.
Sure. This is Susan. So I've read the most pertinent documents. I did not read the URS policy, or the FICUIS or the conflicts of law. But I did review, four or five documents, I guess, out of this list and just put my brief comments in. You know, if you look at any of these documents with GDPR in mind, it's just rife with issues. We're going to have all kinds of transfer issues. I mean, the whole transfer policy doesn't work, and the new one they're proposing doesn't work. Or it might work, but I bet there's going to be a lot of hijacking. But that's GDPR. So I tried to keep my mindset, even though there was all kinds of GDPR issues coming up for me, I tried to ignore that for now and just focus on what issues in these policies that haven't, you know, that deal with who is an integral part to it and haven't been reviewed because they were new since the last review team, who is review team. I only found a few things in the inter-registrar transfer policy. Didn't see anything that was, you know, alarming that we should look at. On the additional who is information policy.
Susan, can we get agreement on each as we go through it and so we don't have to go through them again?
Sure. I
support you on IRTP. I don't think there's anything that we need to consider from a current point of view.
There are certainly GDPR issues, but as you point out, that is a separate issue. So there will be changes to it, I think, necessary, but they're not who is issues.
Well,
although they are registrant data issues.
Yeah, but look, either GDPR implementation will allow the UDRP to work, or it will not allow the UDRP to work, and UDRP is going to have to be reformulated because it makes no sense whatsoever to transfer, you know, to say we're going to transfer, but the receiving registrar can't verify who it's coming from or whether the person owns it. So either the policy will have to change or GDPR will accommodate it. I don't think we need to do anything at this point, given that we don't know where GDPR is going to end up.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, I would have a lot of suggestions or input if we were looking at this for GDPR. But I think, you know, our job here is to look backwards and see if there's anything that, if who is was going to stay exactly the same as it is today, then, or let's say before GoDaddy stopped providing it, you know, are there issues within these policies? So that was more of my viewpoint.
It does seem to me that it might be useful to just flag possible GDPR issues and go no further.
Yeah,
because
of the
conflation in everybody's minds.
Look, if GDPR is implemented as strictly as some people believe it should be, with no flexibility for the whole who is issue, the Internet as we know it is going to change substantially, and most of ICANN's policies will have to change.
Sure, Alan. I'm just trying to do due diligence. If we're looking at these, the registrars have already identified some issues that they're grappling with right now. I think we should just say possible GDPR issues and leave it at that.
I'm not
quarreling with you in terms of, yes, there's going to be massive changes, but the actual problem will be the display of registrant data at a critical point in the process. And I don't think the last time I checked in, they hadn't solved that. So that's a registrant, an RDS data issue, you know?
That's fine. I don't mind flagging it.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to rely on you to do that.
I'm annotating as we go along, seeing as how Susan is kind enough to walk us through.
Back to you, Susan.
Okay. So we're all agreed on the inter-registrar transfer and the additional who is information policy. The only thing that, you know, and I tend to look at everything as a, you know, is there a compliance issue here? Does this actually happen? The only thing that came to mind in the AWIP was it requires that the EPP codes have the links to describe that'll take you to the description of the of what that code is, and so I just was wondering if you know this might I sort of have my compliance subgroup hat on. Is this something where there's an issue with this? Is this compliance see this and do registrars today at this moment strip out information that is required in the who is? So I think that's something we might be able to ask compliance.
Yeah, we could certainly ask compliance under the compliance one, are you auditing or to what extent are you auditing or monitoring the additional who is information policy. I don't think we need to look at it in its own right as a project in its own.
Right. I agree with that.
Stephanie,
did you see anything there?
Yeah, no, that I'm just noting that we should ask compliance whether they're auditing.
We'll leave that to the compliance team.
And we should ask the registrars whether they have any issues here.
The policy is we're past the point of the registrars having issues. The policy was adopted.
Sure, but they may be having trouble implementing.
And that is something we could ask in the, in the report and have them comment on.
Yeah. If there's a compliance issue, why is there a compliance issue? Are they just not bothering to implement or what, you know?
Right.
And I would think that's an issue for compliance to address.
Sure.
Okay, so then move on to the GTLD URS policy procedure and rules. I didn't read it. I'm very familiar with the process. I filed a ton of them, not a ton, but multiple. And since the RPM PDP is discussing the URS, I just don't think, you know, they're looking at it right now to see if there's any changes need to be made. So I'm not sure that there's anything there for us.
Yeah,
what do you think?
It's Alan. I'm one of the authors of the original policy or the original practice because it was deemed not to be policy. The issues related to URS are pretty well identical to UDRP. GDPR will indubitably affect it, but I don't think there's a who is issue directly with the policy that we need to look at. So it's another GDPR flag, but that's it.
Are you okay, Stephanie, with...
I'm saying, first of all, we defer to the RPM's review team, and second, there may be GDPR issues involved. Now, presumably, when we get back to plenary, we're going to get some comments from some of the others who may
we
feel,
might.
You know, may feel there are additional issues, but carry on. I think that's enough.
Okay. So in the expired registration recovery policy, my only concern here is, and I didn't understand this previously. I thought it was a requirement that all registrars have a website because they go very in depth on what you have to have on your website. So if there is, like, I just need to do some research on this. If there is no website, how does the registrar provide who is today?
I regard this as putting our finger on a major problem because I don't think compliance checks on what registrars and their resellers have available on their websites. I have done a little bit of goofing around, and I'm not thrilled by what I see on across a score of things, mostly on the consumer protection side. So maybe this is one where we should ask for compliance to tell us what they see. Do you think that might be useful? Ask for a written report?
This is not the only place where websites are referred to in the RAA, and so I don't think there's anything...
Oh, absolutely not. No, I know. But
yeah.
We could sort of lump it together as a general question to compliance. Can you tell us, you know, what in your audits and your compliance actions have you found, and is there a need for streamlining and, like, having a checklist or something? Because I think it's a huge gap in consumer protection.
Okay. My recollection is, and I chaired the PDP that did this, is that there is no requirement for a registrar to have a website, and there are potentially registrars who only deal through, only work through resellers to not have their own website. I believe. I'm not 100% sure of that. But there is a requirement for this information to be made available to registrants, and I don't believe the mechanism is explicitly specified, but these days there is no mechanism other than the web, except for a few specialized registrars who may do it through other ways. Mark Monitor is an example. So they must make the information available. I don't believe there is a requirement to make it available on the web. And my understanding is that compliance does audit that kind of things. But again, it's something we could ask under the compliance team, but I don't think there's anything particular to ERRP. There are other places where the RAA requires information to be made available.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's anything specific to ERRP.
Prices for proxy services, for instance, you know. And that is something that doesn't necessarily get displayed on the website either. So how and which ones would be good questions to ask compliance?
I think this is another one I don't think we have anything to do on this one, but we can have compliance. It does raise a number of questions that compliance could ask specifically. To what extent does ICANN audit or otherwise monitor whether information that must be made available to registrants is in fact done?
So, through my consulting business, I have been consulting on with a couple of registrars, and there is a requirement. If you have a website, then there are strict requirements on how things are worded, and what is on the their website for all of this. So it is a part of the audit process that the compliance team runs on the registrars. So I'll dig into this a little bit more because personally I just want to know and then propose some questions for either this subgroup to ask or for the compliance subgroup to ask.
Yeah, once we raise this one as something we are working on, we have a whole infrastructure we have to provide on it. So I could think if it's a question, simply a question that could be under the compliance umbrella, that makes our life a lot simpler to actually follow through and report on it.
Okay. You're thinking punt to the compliance subgroup as soon as we identify the questions.
Well, the question is to what extent does ICANN monitor, and we can also ask what happens for a registrar that for one reason or other has no website. How do you verify that the information is presented?
Okay, so what I've got down as notes is Alan reports that there is no requirement to have a website. Can we ask compliance to discuss whether and how they check for this and other transparency requirements?
Yeah, my recollection from 4 years ago when this was done, that there was no requirement to have a website. I believe that is the case, however.
And
there is a requirement to be displayed if there is a website.
Right.
Stephanie,
I apologize
this is Lisa.
For the squeaky noise in the background. It's my dog.
Stephanie, this is Lisa. I just wanted to ask one follow-up question about that. So in the case where compliance comes back and says that with a list of items they do audit for compliance with for these two policies, are you looking then for information on what compliance issues they've encountered as well?
Yes, that's a good idea. Please add that. Yep, I'll add that too. And what issues they have encountered. Okay. So are we happy with that one?
I am.
Okay. Now that moves us along to the thick who is PDP and final report.
Yeah, I think to review that right now is, you know, it's not implemented. Everybody's had a chance to comment on that.
Not moving anytime soon.
Yeah.
Well, to be clear, there's all sorts of parts of it that are implemented. The actual part that is associated with the name is not. There were two other phases that have gone through or are in the process of going through. I don't believe there's anything particularly relevant for us on that aspect other than things where GDPR may kick in.
So are we happy with stalled? I mean, you know, trying to disentangle the parts that aren't likely to change under GDPR would be a, you know, mare's nest.
Yeah, I don't see any merit in us opening it as a separate case.
So that gets us to the next one, the SIC policy for .com, .net, and .jobs. Ditto, right?
Well, that's the third phase of the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, the previous one, I believe, has no implications. Sorry, I didn't realize they were separated here as two different things. I don't think there are any. I'm not aware of any implications in the thick who is policy. I mean, it included things like uniform presentation and a number of other issues like that. And I believe perhaps. I don't even remember. I don't think there's any real who is issues that we need to look at in the rest of the thick who is policy.
Well, I don't want to do the work checking, so, you know, I would prefer to just call it stall on stall.
I'm happy to put GDPR in both of them.
Right. What about this consistent labeling and display? Is that not part of the previous? Or is that a whole separate one?
It's a separate one, and I apologize. I know I read that, and I had some comments, but I left it off. I was working on this sort of late last night, and I cannot find my document right now. So I will send that to the subgroup list with any questions. I just can remember reading it, and some of these I read on the way to San Juan. So So I will, I didn't realize I had not filled that section in. So I will do that in the next day or two and get that back to the subgroup. But if you know anything about it, that'd be great.
I know zilch on this.
Well, all I know about is what the policy says is essentially they want that information that's produced on who is automatically machine parsable and people conform to specific standards. So to the extent that information will still be available through, you know, who is or whatever mechanism, this requires that they present it consistently. I don't think there's anything in it that is likely to, you know, that we need to comment on.
Yeah, I'll go back and check, because I know I had some, there was some issues, I think it was, you know, actually the reseller being labeled. I'm sorry, I just liked on that one, so I will get back to you on email thread.
Okay.
Now, what about the translation, transliteration of contact information? I mean, that does strike me as being GDPR dependent.
Well, certainly what information will be available, which may be translated, is relevant. That's, I believe that that's all under the rubric of IDN, which we're already looking at in the original PDP, because this PDP only came about because of the recommendation from the first WHOIS review team. So I think to the extent there's anything we need to report on or question, it's already been covered under the subgroup that's looking at IDN.
Okay. That makes our life easier. Punt to IDN subgroup.
And the same, we skipped over privacy proxy, but that the same thing applies there. Susan?
Oh, I agree with that completely. Sorry about that.
The next one is law enforcement, privacy law.
Well, it's the expert working group on internet registration data.
Where did you get that? Sorry?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the internationalized registration data.
Yeah, that should be in the also in the.
The other subgroup that's handling IDN.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we don't have to worry about that. And I just lumped all of the WHOIS conflicts with privacy law because the new IAG has been created. Hasn't it stood out that GNSO agreed to it?
Well, this one is a little bit different, actually, because this one essentially says, should a registrar or registry need a waiver from ICANN because privacy law in their jurisdiction requires them to do something that is different from whatever our standard policy is? So this one is going to stand, and certainly there have been a lot of criticisms of this particular policy in terms of implementation. But I really don't see how, in the light of the huge amount of flux that's going to be going on at this point, we can look at this aspect of it. It doesn't go away if we implement GDPR fully, because there's still going to be jurisdictions where they may have other rules that have to be complied with. But, certain China and Russia are examples. But I'm not quite sure how we tackle it in the light of the huge amount of flux around it.
I think we have to note, because some of the proposals under GDPR suggest that we restrict the new policy to GDPR, and that strikes me, when there's 80 other laws, as remarkably stupid. It just merely throws the ball straight into this court, and we don't have a working procedure at the moment. Now,
well,
I haven't gone through the 80 laws to see whether or not any of them comply with the conflicts with law procedure, but I know Canada can't do it because the commissioner has no powers to enforce, and that's still in the language. And many of the other laws, you have to go to court as well. So,
yeah.
You know, this is remains really dumb as a procedure. It needs to be rewritten, and if we just to fix GDPR and then chug on with the other 80 laws, we're just punting, and I think it's irresponsible.
Yeah, I would tend to say that we certainly could make a statement, but I don't believe it is in the form of a recommendation. That it's quite clear that there is dissatisfaction with this, and it needs to be reformulated. But until we resolve the general privacy issues and have a mechanism for it, because the interim policy is GDPR. What has to come out of the PDP is not just GDPR. It's more generalized.
Exactly.
And the more generalized one, the only way I can see implementing a policy which will allow compliance with local law is essentially to have it table-driven, and different registrars and registries can do things differently according to their local law.
Right.
And that may take that may remove the need for this completely. So I don't think we can say reformulate this until we have settled the PDP on who is. Then there may be a need, depending on what the outcome of that is, to reformulate this. So I think we can observe that, but I don't think we can make a stronger recommendation until we know what comes out of the PDP.
So we just make a general statement. I would just add to that that many countries are busy upgrading their laws.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly like 95 and 98, you know. They're busy in flux, so even if we gelled something now, it wouldn't work in 3 years by the time Parliament passed new laws to comply, you know?
Yeah, I would note, I would call it an observation, because I think that simply says, depending on the PDP outcomes, there may or may not be still a need for such an ability for registrars, registries to get a waiver from parts of who, whatever the who is policy is. And once we see the outcome, ICANN needs to look at whether there is a need or not, and if so, reformulate it.
Okay. I'm saying, make an observation that current language, can I say, appears not to be working?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's dissatisfaction, certainly.
How about appears to fail to satisfy?
Whatever. We can refine the wording when we get to the final, the actual writing of the report.
And we'll change depending on GDPR outcomes.
Yeah. But for us to investigate it in depth right now, when everything around it is in turmoil, just is a waste of our time, I think.
Absolutely. We're not looking at it. Okay. Yeah, I got that down.
And I think the same exactly same thing applies to the next one.
Yes. Man, we're just rushing through here. Okay, RDS, WHODS, data retention spec.
As I said, I think that same thing applies.
Yeah, how did you come up with did not find any WHOIS issues to review, Susan?
Well, because they're all GDPR, it's all going to change. So, if you read it and saw something that as of today, but I mean, the only things I focused on were things that I didn't think were going to change after GDPR.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the data retention, is going to.
That's a significant part of the interim and a final GDPR solution, and privacy and the RDS in general. So.
Okay, pending GDPR solution. The only thing I would add is that the data retention at the moment, or the data commissioners have said it's excessive. So it's not just that it's being kept too long, it's that too many data elements for escrow purposes are being retained. So that's a big GDPR issue. So that's a whois issue, I think. Anyway, okay, I got pending GDPR solution for that, too. Now,
so,
did we miss anything? Is there anything else on here that wasn't summarized?
I'm going to work on the assumption that staff has been exhaustive in creating this list.
Well, there was one document that was off the list, and I realize it's not a policy, but it was certainly a major amount of work, and that was the EWG report. That is certainly anything new since the last WHOIS review, and it came right out of the WHOIS review. So,
but it's not policy. I mean,
it's
what
not
we're
which?
Looking at, it's not policy. So we're looking, to me, that list was a list of anything, any new policies since the last WHOIS review.
Yeah, expert working group was input into the PDP.
In addition to that, I'd just like to note, I believe that falls under the recommendation 2 strategic priority, the formation of the EWG and the results that that had.
Ah, okay. So not part of what we're looking at now.
Okay, so where we are, subject to the Susan's re-looking at the consistent labeling and display policy, we have in several cases booted things into the compliance review to ask some specific questions related to these subjects. We have a whole bunch of them which are going to be in flux as of both an interim and a long-term solution to GDPR and other privacy legislation is addressed. And we have nothing that we're going to look at in its own right now if we take the independent things that we've just done.
That sounds really good to me.
It does. Based on our success in getting review subgroups to do active work, yes.
You know, I mean, I would put my hand up and volunteer to work on turning this excellent outline into like a two-pager with some preliminary questions to the compliance gang and send it to everybody for comments, and Susan can fill in the one that she, once she finds her notes on that other one, and then we can have a report very shortly. Does that sound like a plan for going forward?
I believe April 5th is our target.
Yeah, recognizing we only have a temporary reprieve from the GDPR stuff, there's going to be one hell of a mess when we finally come up with something.
Well, I'm not sure.
Retired by that point. Right now,
all we're going to get at best in our lifetime is an interim GDPR solution.
I suspect that is the case.
Now, the board is now talking about implementing policy on an interim basis. That is, they seem to be edging towards the fact that a compliance model is not sufficient and they actually must invoke policy. That policy has a finite lifetime, but it is not likely to, if that policy is enacted, it's not likely to be enacted before June, which means it will live till next June. And I surely hope that we have issued a final report before then.
Well, so. Yes, but the problem with the policy, which has me somewhat distressed, is that if we have no alternative, it becomes a permanent policy.
No, it doesn't. The policy the board can enact is based on contractual terms, and it is limited at this point to 4 terms of 3 months each. Now, maybe they could, on day 366, reenact the policy and they get another year out of it. I'm not sure how that would be viewed, but, you know, maybe they can do that. But as written today, it has a one-year finite life and then disappears, goes poof. But
and
in any case, it's not our decision whether the board does that or not. They may go out for public comment and ask us, but it's certainly not our decision.
Right, but it nevertheless might be something we want to make recommendations on.
If it happens, let's decide then.
Oh, well, it's bound to happen, Alan. Is there any other option? I don't think so. Nobody's happy. Nobody's happy with anything that the registrars have come up with.
Well, at this point, the compliance model, which is what we're talking about on paper, is an option. The board has sent out feelers for whether they should set policy, but at this point, it's just very informal talk.
Yeah, right. Well, the clock's ticking. I mean, we're going to comment on it, obviously, hence my lack of activity on this particular group, because commenting on that is, big job. But we don't need to debate it here. It's a major development, though, that the first real policy on who is being set by the board.
Well, at this point, there is no policy set. They are instructing.
It will be a policy. It's not just an interim compliance option, right?
No, I can't say right because I don't know that. At this point, all they're talking about is a compliance model of telling compliance to not enforce some aspects of the current policy.
Well, yeah, except there isn't a current policy, you know. I mean, anyway, we don't need to debate it. It's tedious and boring and all the rest of it. Okay, so does that sound like a way forward?
So Stephanie, you're going to do a summary,
a couple of pages max.
Target to have it out at the in time for our deadline or soon after.
Right. No, I plan to get it out today because I plan
okay.
to have a holiday over Easter weekend, so I'll leave you guys having to comment on it over Easter weekend, and then we get it chugged out by April 5th, if that sounds reasonable.
Let's try for it.
Stephanie, this is Lisa.
Yeah.
I wanted to make you an offer that I have to other subgroups as well, which is if you wish, I can take the generic template for subgroup reports and fill in the first couple of sections with the references to the key documents and so forth, leaving you the blank section into which to insert your findings.
Oh, that sounds like an offer I couldn't refuse, Lisa.
I thought as much. So I can get that to you today.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, well, on with the fun, guys, I guess. Susan, have you got any more comments on this?
Nope. That was it.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, happy holiday weekend, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care, all.
Thanks,
everyone.